Welcome back for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, starring your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today, our topic is going to be on obedience. I want to open up with a question. Does any of you guys know who Ananias was? Do you know what Ananias did? The answer is probably no. I know for me, if you had asked me a couple days ago, I definitely would have said no. Ananias was actually one of the saints from Damascus. And the importance of him was in Acts 9, verse 10. He says, "The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at that house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight.'" And then he says, "But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem.'" So what is happening here is the Lord called Ananias to be obedient, to go speak to this, Christian Hitler that was called Saul. And many of you know that he was then transformed into the Apostle Paul, which was, one of the most famous disciples. And he was ultimately the one who started the whole church and planted the first church. So it was based upon Ananias' obedience that the whole ball got rolling. And it might have seemed so minute to Ananias at the time, but it was in the trust that the Lord had a plan that it was all made happen. And even through his doubts, Ananias knew the reputation of Saul. He knew that this man was a Christian killer, but he still boldly followed what was told to him. And through his obedience, the church got planted.
And I will say, if you had asked me, well, and you'd asked me roughly 10 or 15 minutes ago, as the time we're recording this, I didn't even know who Ananias was. I knew the Saul to Paul story, but I didn't recognize that one little piece of, this one guy obeyed God, and it's because of his obedience that it led to this, this righteous man, this holy man that ultimately became the, pinnacle, I guess,
right.
But I also think we can also look at the disobedience you can have with God, and that's kind of the aim of this episode, is not only what happens if you obey God, but also what happens if you don't. And I think the story that kind of sets the tone for this whole thing is if you go back to the very, very beginning when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, it's their disobedience to God and not listening to him and eating off of that tree of knowledge that gets them cast out, and it sets this whole thing in motion. And it's the whole reason why we, we're classified as sinners from the very beginning, and it's because of that disobedience.
I think the hardest part for us humans is understanding to be obedient. Most of the time, it's not going to be something we want to do. When your mom tells you to go do your laundry, you don't want to do that, but you do it because you're obedient to your parents, and you follow through because if you don't do your laundry, it's going to stack up over time, and then you're just going to have this big mess you got to deal with later. And it's not about laundry. You get the point of the story. It's not about laundry. It's just about being obedient and doing the things that you want to do. I heard this saying, and I feel like I've heard it multiple times in the past week or two. And it says, "The road to hell feels like heaven, and the road to heaven feels like hell." And I thought that was interesting because it's like if you're constantly making the decisions that you want to make and you're just following what your flesh wants, that's going to feel good. You're just going to keep following this path that's ultimately going to lead you to destruction. The path to righteousness is a straight and narrow, good fight. You know what I mean? It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. You hop on and you're suiting up and you're ready to go to war. And you're going to have your ups and downs. But it's just ultimately about sticking through, knowing the obedience. And then Acts 1:8, this is also something that was in the beginning of Acts that applied to Ananias. It says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes onto you. So Ananias knew that if he was just a man and he approached Paul or Saul at the time, and he just said, "Hey man, somebody wants you over here, stop being so bad," and he had no kind of spiritual connection to him, there would have been no transformation. There would have been no kind of motivation, one for Saul to transform, but there would have been no kind of boldness behind Ananias. Ananias was just a man. And he pretty much confronted someone that hated him down to his core. And because of the Spirit, he had the power to lead him to where he needed to be.
Yeah. And really when it comes down to it, and it's kind of like, and you started down on kind of on this, you know, perspective of the fact of like, the road to heaven feels like hell because you look at it as I can't do this, I can't do that. Instead of saying I don't need this because I have God, because I have Jesus in my life, I don't need these things. A lot of people say I don't need to get high because I'm high on life. And I think that is, I mean, realistically, that is true for people who have truly just accepted. I don't need those things to be happy. I don't need those things to be filled with joy. And that's something we've talked about in the past is the fact of the matter. These things don't bring you joy, but God does.
Right. I think the hellish aspect of creating our own personal hell and chasing our own desires is like what he said, when we choose back in the garden, when they chose sin, that was what felt right to them. That's what they thought was going to be the end all be all for them, but ended up being them moving away from God, getting kicked out of the garden and being separated from the presence of God. And that's what sin does, is it separates us from God. But it sounds, you know, terrifying, but the craziest part is our Father has grace like a freight train. There's more grace in him than there's sin in us. He knew what he was buying when he bought us. So if you know the lies of the enemy, you're able to just know that, Father, you know, you confess your sins and you're right back by his side, just like that. He's like, all right, you're here again. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah. Well, and I think a really good verse that kind of ties all this together there is in Romans 6, verse 16. It says, Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Hmm. So, exactly that. If you are obedient to the sin in your life, and you're not obedient to God, then you're just leading yourself down the path of destruction. You're leading yourself down the path of death. You know, think of and not to single anybody out, but think of drug, you know, people who are addicted to drugs, is the more and more they do, the more and more that just takes away from their life, the closer they get to death. And usually in a lot of cases, it leads to an earlier death than before. And it leads to that path of destruction. It destroys their entire life. It destroys the people around them. It destroys their character, who they are, who they used to be. And by not being obedient in God and saying, I don't need those things, they've destroyed themselves. But by being obedient in God, we can be more righteous and we can be in his word, and it leads us to a life, a more full life.
Yeah. The hard part's just the trust. And it's such a common theme in the Bible. It's just the trust in his plan. You know what I mean? And that's like four words. It's so simple, but it's so hard just to live it out in every single day life. You know, one thing that my pastor said is he says, when we think that we've got this, that's when the devil's got us. When we think we've got it on our own and we don't need help anymore, that's when we're got. You know what I mean? And when it says that, when you live and you follow a life of sin, it leads to death. If you've been saved and you've accepted your salvation, you're saved. It's not trampoline faith. You don't lose it. You're not saved and not saved. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not back and forth. Once you're saved, you're saved. It's... like you said, early death, that's also like it can be a physical death. Mainly it's a spiritual death.
Oh yeah.
When you come to Christ and you accept your salvation, you've now been given the Holy Spirit. You've now been given a new heart. But once you start to betray the Spirit that's in you, you're suppressing that Spirit. And over time you build this callus over it, and it's ultimately like spiritual death. And you can always come back, but the farther you go, the harder it comes to come back.
Yeah, I mean, and those people's characters, like you said, the spiritual death, those people's characters has completely fallen apart. Whoever they were before that is gone, and now it's replaced by this new person who's completely controlled and surrounded by sin in their entire life, and now that's all their life is focused on.
Yeah, and they kind of like, are you surrounding yourself with sin, like he says, you forget who you are. Reminder, When back to a couple episodes ago, when I was quoting the verse when Jesus said that no one will enter the kingdom of heaven that doesn't have the heart of a child. What is the heart of a child? Yes, it's filled with joy, But when you were a child, that's when you acted like you. That's before you were impacted by the world and you started to believe things that you need to change about yourself.
Yep.
So when one thing I noticed is all through my childhood, I was a very like outgoing, very, you know, wanted to talk to everybody, funny, like very unique character. And then as I got older and started falling into sin and into the world, I just started to not feel like myself again. And I remember when Christ encountered me and when the Holy Spirit really like overwhelmed my body about a year ago, when I had this turning point in my life, I remember in that moment having this feeling of, I almost feel like a kid again. Like I'm feeling like I'm like, you know, when you fall asleep in the back of the car and you wake up and you're on the living, like you're on the living room couch, and it was because you were sleeping in the back of the car. You got home from a road trip and your mom or your dad carried you inside. Like, it's like that feeling. And it was a feeling I never had. I just thought it was so interesting to have that again. And that's ultimately what we want, because the problem is we just get too matured and we get too caught up in the things of this world, and we think that's what's going to satisfy us, and we forget how simple it actually is, because a child's mind is so simple. You know, you give them a pack of Sour Patch Kids and they're happy. Yep. You know what I mean? And you can give a man now, you can go give a man a car keys, be like, hey, here's a new car for you. And his mind's automatically, and if he doesn't have money, he's going to start thinking, oh, now I got to pay insurance. Now I got to start paying gas. Now I'm going to have all these other, it just goes to show, like, it's that simple mindset. We got to go back to being that, having that child mindset.
Being more optimistic. I think being in the Word of God makes you a more optimistic person. You no longer look at the downsides of everything. You start looking at more of the upsides or the silver lining in every cloud of saying, you know, hey, this thing happened, but, well, this positive thing, you know. I always like, recently where I work at, we just recently lost somebody. I'm like, well, silver lining is I get a bigger desk. Like, like just the small things, and it's dumb. That is completely personal and actually probably not even related to this, but at the end of the day, you can find the smallest things and be like, well, you know what, at least this thing happened, and because of that, this can now proceed on, or this can lead to this positive, you know, thing happening, or this person's now happier because they're, you know, they're working where they want to work.
Yeah, it's like when you know that God has a plan for you, it makes life so much easier, because it makes the hard times, you start to see why you have hard times.
Yep.
Because if there was never a hard time, there would never be good times. And I mean, it's just like a flat line, you know, if that line goes like up and then it goes down, but then when it goes down, it comes back up. But if it's just a flat line, you never have the, like, it's like,
you can't appreciate the highs without having the lows.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So like, if it was always a flat line, then there would be nothing to look forward to.
Exactly.
So if that flat line's down here, then there really is nothing to look forward to, you know?
And then if you look back on your past and you think about all the bad things that's happened to you, it's created who you are today. And it's literally you being forged into this image of who God has you to be used for. And when you officially come to the Father and the Spirit comes into you, what has happened to you in the past is now part of your testimony. And yep. The thing is that thing that happened to you has also happened to a lot of other people. And you can use your testimony to help reach those people. Because like me specifically, some of the things that I've done and I've been through, it feels like so specific to me. But now if I trace back my steps to the area where that sin came into my life and where I was at in that specific moment, there's thousands of people around me doing the exact same things that I used to do. And those people probably don't have any kind of connection to the Holy Spirit, because when they think church and they think God, they think of like saints and people, judgy people and this and that, people that's never, you know, done anything wrong. Right. But then when they can see me, who's also been there, who's also been through that, and maybe, you know, little worse. One thing that he said last night is, it doesn't matter the scars you have. He's like, you're not defined by your scars. You're defined by his scars. And his scar says you're free. His scar says you have eternal salvation in my name. You know what I mean? You're invited into the kingdom because I said so, and I died for you, all of y'all.
Exactly. And that's the great thing about the Lord is and about God is the fact that he's not biased. As humans, we're biased. We're going to look at people who have done things in their past that we may not agree with. We're going to look down on them just naturally. And that is out of sin and that is out of our heart. And those are things we shouldn't do, but we do it anyways, even, whether subconsciously, whether we say things to people, whether we think things about people, whether we cross the street because we don't like the way this person looks. At the end of the day, God is completely unbiased. Whether or not you, you know, did hard drugs for, you know, 15 years or you murdered somebody, at the end of the day, that's all on the same level, you know, playing field is with God. That's still the same level of sin in his eyes, and that can still be washed away with true repentance and true, you know, true faith in him and putting your, you know, putting your trust in the Lord and having your faith in the fact that Jesus died for your sins and that his blood is what's washed you and cleansed your sins away, and now you're a better person because of it. And as long as you have true repentance and, you know, you change from that and you have a different mindset and you keep that new heart that God gives you, that is what brings you, that is what makes you righteous in God's eyes.
Yeah. I mean, the number one thing that God said, that Jesus said, was to love God, but to love your neighbor. It's like one of the last things he said, love your neighbor, love God. So, I mean, we all have our sins. We all have things that we struggle with. But there's a difference between your struggle and there's a difference between hate and looking down your nose on someone that God also created. That's a different story. If that's how you walk your Christian life, you have to take a step back, and that's something you have to repent from. That's something I've had to repent from, because, you know, a story is like what we were talking about last night was, what level of loss are you comfortable with? And the common thing in today's church is, you know, you'll see, you know, a transgender come into the church that's has a lot of issues and is asking all these questions. And I'm sure that person feels scared to come into there because they're scared of what they're going to get back. And it really is depending on the church and what that church understanding is of who Jesus really was.
Right.
Because if they think Jesus was, you know, this white man that only died for the Jews and the Gentiles, you've got it all wrong. That's not God. God died for everybody. He doesn't care how lost you are. He doesn't care what name you go by. He died for all of us, and he wants us to love on each other. He wants us to love on each other with bread. You know, lost people are hungry. When, you know, when lost people come somewhere because they feel like something's there, they don't come to get stoned. They come to be fed. This goes back to like this story of being in taking the wild horses into the pen. You know, the horse is acting crazy to be tamed, but someone has to come in there, spend time with the horse, grow this trust with this horse, and then the horse starts to get comfortable with this person enough to allow that person to get on their back and ride them. Because for a horse, their back is their most vulnerable spot. That's the only person that's getting on a horse's back is a predator, naturally. So you have to gain that trust to be able to get in with that person. And once you're in with them, then you can start loving on them. And then once the spirit starts connecting with them, the spirit will do the work. You don't do the work. You just be the obedient to be the encounter for that person.
Right.
Bring the spirit to them. Show them who Jesus was. Show the love Jesus had for all of us. And then that's when the spirit begins to do the work.
Well, exactly. Kind of like what you said there. And a lot of times, and especially in the church, they look down on the transgender and the gays. And I'm not saying that those people aren't in sin, but those are the people that need help the most.
Yeah.
Instead of turning away from those people because you just simply don't like that group or because you think that they're shoving it down your throat or whatever you might think, change. You know, you can change that person. You can speak with them, speak the scripture to them, and make them better people and bring them more into the word and make them more righteous than they are. And it's exactly what you said. You know, you work with this person and you know, you gain their trust. By gaining their trust, you're not going to gain their trust by instantly saying, well, God said you're wrong, so you don't need to be here, because that's going to lead them further away from God than anything will.
Yep.
And it's like what you've said in the past, you weren't hurt by God, you were hurt by people and the people of the church. And that's what kept me away from the church for sure. And, you know, among a bunch of other things, the people of the church is what kept me out of the church for the longest time before I finally found the relationship with God and not the people of, you know, that we're portraying to be people of God.
Yeah. I think one thing is, think about Jesus like this. When you come to him, he doesn't say, get clean before you get in. You don't get clean before you get in the bath.
No.
You just get in. The first thing he says to you when you come to him, I love you. We'll get to that. Don't worry about that. I love you, love me, and we'll get there. It's a process. The sanctification process is not overnight. Like when I genuinely begin to take my walk seriously, a little over a year ago, you know, I thought it was going to be something, you know, overnight, and I was going to have all my chains broken. I was going to be thinking about God every single moment. And that's not what it was. You know what I mean? There was a change of heart, and I did start to feel different towards my sin, but it was over a period of time and practicing and getting into his word, sharpening my sword every single day. It's just growing, you know? And then eventually once you grow it, you begin to forget about the sin because you're so focused on him, you know, and he's going to take that away from you. That's not something you're going to overcome. It's the Spirit that overcomes it for you.
Exactly. I mean, and we've said it in the past, and you kind of touched on it there. It's, you know, just because you got saved yesterday doesn't mean that you're instantly just all your temptations are gone. In fact, actually, they're probably going to come back tenfold.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're somebody who, you know, depending on what you're going through, whether it might be withdrawals or a bunch of other things, you're going to deal with temptation no matter what part of your walk that you're on. Whether you're at the very end and you think you're the holiest person on earth, or you're at the first step, you've just grabbed your cross, you're throwing it over your shoulder. At the end of the day, you're going to face temptation from beginning to end, and you're always going to have some form of sin in your life. And that is the first thing to understand. You're not going to be a completely different person just snap overnight.
My current temptation right now is, as we're speaking, Boone just kind of walked up to me. He starts rubbing on me. And I want to hop away from this microphone and start playing with him so bad, but I can't. But
especially the way he drug the flag over.
Yeah, he drug his little tug of war toy over here. He just wants me to play tug of war, and now he's just getting some neck rubs. But this is a story from last night. I was going to this, it's called Saturated. It's a week long of every single night. They have a different preacher just preaching the word. And it's just being able to tune out the world and tune into God, you know, and kind of when you're able to be in his presence every single night like that, it really does something different.
Yeah.
Especially if you use it for what it's for, you know, I mean, you can go to college and get your degree, but unless you actually sat there and took the energy to learn it and memorize it, it's not going to have any kind of effect on you. But there's a difference if you go into a class and you're like, I want to learn this. So if you come to this with the attitude of, I want to learn, and I've been going through a lot these past couple of weeks, just mentally, and I've really been craving Jesus. And the closer you get to him, the more you realize how much you need him. And I think that it's like we almost become reliant on him, and it sounds terrible, but we all are relying on him. And if you don't,
the one drug that is okay to be addicted to.
Yes. And I'm telling y'all, I was at the altar last night and I was praying. And, I mean, part of my story is one thing I've always like battled with was marijuana. I've smoked weed since I was in middle school, just about. And I'm sitting up there on my knees with my hands lifted up. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I can feel it. Like, I can feel something on me. And I'm like, this right here is a better feeling than any high I've ever had. Any drunk I've ever had, I've never felt this feeling of just, it's pouring out of me. Like,
oh yeah. It's like pure joy.
Yeah. And there's no way to describe it. There's nowhere else to find it ultimately. No. But with that story about Saturated, I showed up last night. I was telling Philip I was 15 minutes early, right? I was 15 minutes early to the service, and then I ended up being 45 minutes late to the service. There were so many people in the parking lot. So this church is an old Walmart. So it's an old Walmart parking lot, slammed to the brim. People parked all up on the curbs. They're like, you got to go to the Publix next door and park. Whole Publix parking lot next door, slammed full. So I ended up parking like four parking lots down. I'm running late, stuck in traffic, all of Beach Boulevard shut down. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I'm going to be so late at this point. I really don't even know if I'm going to go, because I know there's not going to be any seats. There's not going to be, I'm going to have to go stand up in the back or something. So I park. I'm running through the rain. It's also raining. So I'm like trying to run through the rain. I get in there, walk into the auditorium, and it's just filled to the brim. I mean, like, there's not even standing room in there at this point. So standing in there, I'm worshiping, and the service, the worship ends, and they're about to start preaching. And so I kind of prop up against the wall. I'm getting ready to stand through this whole sermon. And this lady, I see her coming all the way from the front of the church, and she's walking through this big crowd, and she walks up to me and she says, "Hey, are you by yourself?" And I was like, oh, no way. I was like, no way. I was like, yes. And she's like, come with me. She takes me up to the front of the church and sat me, I'm not lying, in the seat that I sit in every Sunday. And it was just literally one of those like moments of like, everything in me was telling me not to do this. Everything in me was telling me to go home, just watch it on your phone. You know what I mean? This is yeah. also online. But just the fact I kept pushing through, I said, there's something in here that I need. I don't know what it is. And I ended up going, being sat almost in the front row, and then heard one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my whole entire life, which like led to me, you know, on my knees repenting. Cause like that's ultimately what we want. And through all of this, is what we want for all of y'all, is revelation that leads to repentance. Yes. Because that's ultimately what gets you closer to God, you know, and that's not what we want to do. It's obedience. It's not yes. what we want to do. You know, you have to sacrifice sometimes. You don't actually have to sacrifice a perfect lamb and put yeah. the blood across the top of your door frame, but there is going to be some things that you're not going to want to do. You just got to push through.
Well, it's kind of neat that you touched on sacrifice there. It's the fact of the matter, you know, Jesus sacrificed his life to give us life.
Amen.
Eternal life. So why would we not have to sacrifice within our lives to live in Jesus' word and in God's word and to live by the principles that Jesus has set down for us and the commandments that God has put forth for us? Why would we not have to sacrifice? All of life is sacrifice. You know, we talk about it in school about, you know, opportunity costs, you know. Well, think about this. If, you know, if I give up weed, what does that give me? Well, it gives me eternal life. If I, you know, step away from alcohol, what does that give me? It gives me more joy because that gives me more reason to get into the word and to read, you know, to read about the great things that God can do for me. And to just being more in his word makes me a better person, you know, and being a better person and going out and doing things for other people, speaking on here, it makes me happy, but it makes me joyous. And it fills me with something that is unlike anything else that you could get from any person, from any drug, from any, you know, TV show, you know, app on your phone, game. It's better than anything you could ever experience. And I just can't describe it in anything other than that. It's very hard to put into words.
When Jesus was speaking to the disciples, one of the main reasons he told them not to sin was to spoil their witness. So when it says that a life of disobedience leads to death, what if what it's talking about is the life of the follower of Christ that disobeys their calling, which by disobeying their calling, they're spoiling their witness to people who do not know Christ. So now when they see this person who is supposed to be furthering the kingdom of God, they just see a person of the world.
Yeah.
So now the spoiling of your witness has now led to me not seeing Christ and me not knowing Christ.
Yeah.
And now what if that's my spiritual death? What if that's me not ever being able to experience who God was and to be able to accept his invitation?
Essentially, you're the person that's now hurt somebody else. Instead of somebody else being hurt by God, because God never hurt anybody. But it's people that do it. And if you don't want to be the person that hurts somebody else,
yes.
And that keeps them away from that.
And that's why it's so much deeper than just us. When you're thinking about just you, that's once Christ comes in your life, it's about others. What did Jesus do? He used his life as a ransom for many. And as disciples, that's what we are called to be. We're called to use our lives for ransom for many. We're not supposed to be investing in ourselves. We're not supposed to be trying to build this huge life for us to live this lavish life. We're supposed to, God's going to take care of us. The birds and the lilies are taken care of. They don't worry about tomorrow. Does he not love us more than them? So we're going to be taken care of. So from that knowledge, now we can go and say, okay, now let's spread this to others, because other people need to be taken care of. Other people need to experience this love and know the truth that they're saved and that now they can walk freely, not being held by the chains of their addictions, depressions, and other transgressions.
Exactly. I think that's a kind of a good place to kind of leave this here. So to kind of, you know, reflect back on what we've talked about here, obedience to God and turning away from sin and not being disobedient to him. Being disobedient to sin and being obedient to God allows us to be better people. It allows us to be happier people, more joyous people. And at the end of the day, we can help other people. And like Nick had just said, it allows us to be able to help other people. To be able to help other people is amazing. To stop focusing on yourself and to focus on other people is probably the best thing in the world. You know, I don't know how many other people, this is the only thing I can relate it to. When you give a gift to somebody else and they just love it, they're like, their face lights up. That is my favorite part of giving somebody a gift.
That feels better than getting a good gift to me. Like, it really does.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't need more stuff.
Right.
But I love giving people stuff.
Yes. Yeah. You know? And the last thing we're going to end up on is Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served.
Exactly.
So be the servant. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Be obedient to his calling. Call on him and ask him. Just tell him, send me. I'll be there. Send me. And then don't be surprised when he answers. Be obedient. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Check you on the next one.
Peace. Y'all are amazing.